all across America and around the world. You're listening to America's number one program for veterans, Veterans Radio. And now, live from the studios of WDEO in Ann Arbor, Michigan, here's your host for today's program, former Chief Warrant Officer, helicopter pilot with the 195th Assault Helicopter Company, Republic of Vietnam, 1969, Dale Throneberry.
And good morning, America, and welcome to Veterans Radio, coming to you live from the studios of Ave Maria Radio in Ann Arbor, Michigan. My name is Dale Throneberry. My introduction was done by our incredible technician and engineer, Matt Durr. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning.
And joining me in the studios today is Gary Lilly, old CB.
Can do, done did.
Good morning, Gary. How are you?
I'm great. It's a beautiful, crisp day today here in Michigan. I hope it's the same way all around the country.
That's true. We want to know what you're thinking today. The name of our program is called Just Sound Off. And what we're talking about by sounding off is just getting off whatever's on your chest. What's bothering you? We want to make sure that you give us a call here at 877-573-7825. Write that number down, 877-573-7825. The only thing that we ask you to remember is that we are on the air live, and we don't have a delay, and we're not going to get into any arguments today. We just want to know what's going on out there, and we want to know that if you're concerned about what's happening in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in America, let us know. That number, 877-573-7825. There are many issues on the board that we can talk about. The Don't Ask, Don't Tell measure has been passed by the Congress and is going to be implemented at some point soon. The new military budget is coming out that they're talking about and cutting back on troops for the Army and for the Marines. Is this the time to do that? I don't know. What do you think? Women in combat, that's another issue that's coming up again to be talked about. The issues of women actually being on the combat lines and being allowed to become members of the infantry and special forces and so on and so forth. What do you think about that kind of stuff?
Women in submarines.
Women in submarines, that's coming up pretty soon, too. Oh, yeah, speaking of the Navy, we're going to be talking about the captain. What was his name again?
Owen Honors.
Well, Owen Honors showed some good videos that were meant to be humorous and that were not necessarily taken that way by some people a number of years ago, actually, and unfortunately it's cost him his career. And we'll see what do you think about that one? What else is going on? There's so many different things out there in the military right now.
Oh, Gitmo. What's your opinion on Gitmo? Should it be kept open? We've got the GI Bill reform that may cut benefits to people in the military for college. We've got Arlington.
A little snafu there.
Well, yeah, that's snafu. And then a waiver was given for Martin Ginsburg, the husband of the Supreme Court Justice Ginsburg, can't think of her name, to be buried at Arlington. But Vang Po, who was a Hmong leader, military leader, who fought with the United States, they're asking that he be buried there, and there's a lot of support for that, but it requires a waiver because he was not in the United States military.
Well, we've got that issue. We've got other ones that are out there. We've got what's going on at your local VA. We've had some great stories about the VA, and this last week, as soon as we sent the flyer out, we got some stories that were not necessarily quite so positive. And actually, I'm going to take a call because we got our first call on the line right now, and this is Gene from Linden. Hi, Gene. Welcome.
Yes. The incident in the last week or two regarding the commander of the USS Enterprise and the way it was handled, I just think that people that really don't know what went on that ship and are supposedly so outraged about the conduct of the officer in command and how he was demoted and probably will be ushered out of the military after a very, very good and long career, how the self-righteous that judged him really don't know what's going on. He, because of a video clip that was obviously edited to show a few highlights over a few seconds, was the judgment on it, I guess is what I'm trying to say, by those that don't know what's going on that ship. Now, I happened to listen to the radio while I was in the car the very next day that this came up. And it's a radio talk show, and three ex-crewmen of that ship called in. One was a male sailor. One was a female sailor. One was a gay male sailor. None of them had anything but high regards for the commander and what went on. They had been on station for 180 days, working 18-hour shifts. They were getting wore down. The commander did this to raise spirits, which all three said happened after this. It raised the spirits, raised the morale. They got a few laughs, and that was it. And according to the male sailor, this was all handled not too long after. Now, he didn't get into what the handling meant, and I missed the first few minutes of the show. They might have talked about it then. But the timing of this is very suspect. How rapidly the officer was judged. How many months ago did the Fort Hood shooting take place? 14 counting the baby, military personnel were killed, 30 to 40 wounded, in front of hundreds of witnesses, and we haven't heard a doggone word yet about that after it happened. When is the trial? And what really gets me, and then I'll shut up, that this officer was held to higher standards than an ex-president of the United States who had sex with a young girl just a little bit older than his daughter in the Oval Office.
Well, let's try to stick to the aircraft carrier. We don't want to get too far back in history.
That's all I'm going to say about it. And we had a vice president of the United States use the F word on national television in front of the whole world, and it's laughed about.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much for calling in, Gene. I hope you feel better.
Yes, I will. Thank you.
Thanks, Gene, for calling. And that's what we want you to do today. Give us a call here at 877-573-7825. We are going to be non-judgmental as much as possible.
I agree with you. We're not judgmental, but we can add our own thoughts, I suppose. I was thinking about the idea about the standards of Captain Owen honors, and I did hear and read of a lot of support from the troops saying that it did break up the stress and the tension. I remember during the Vietnam War talking to some of the guys that served on aircraft carriers, and it was all guys then. They were working 18-hour days. They were sleeping in the passageways, eating sandwiches on the post. They couldn't even make it back to their bunks to sleep, and that's why they were sleeping in passageways and near their job site. That is an intense job. Carrier.
I don't think people realize that in the military, especially when you're deployed in a military zone, that you're not working an 8-to-5 job. You're working 18 hours, 24 hours on, 24 hours off, and so forth, and that there is a lot of tension because I think the tension is that you never know where the bad guy is exactly, and you never know what's going to happen next. So you're always at this state of very high alert, and you need to have something that's going to bring you down, so to speak, for a little while. And sometimes the humor that the military uses, or that any large organization will use, may seem offensive to some people, but I think you have to put it into context as to what's happening and what's going on. And again, this whole situation with the captain was 3 years ago and suddenly comes to force today. You know, you got to wonder sometimes about what really is important and what our priorities are.
If there's nobody on the line, I wanted to add on to that. We're listening too much to the general public sitting in their coffee shops over their lattes saying, oh, that's awful, that's terrible. For one thing, I think it was Tennyson wrote in Tommy Boy, can't remember the name of the poem, that you won't find plaster saints in a single man's barracks. In other words, do you want a military that's rough and tough, or do you want one that's politically correct and you'd sit down and have tea with? But these guys have a job to do, mm-hmm. and it requires, you know, just kind of being rough and tough. If killing somebody doesn't come naturally, and that's what the military is all about.
That's true. It's very true. We're going to go to our first break right now, which is our Welcome Home segment. And each week on Veterans Radio, we welcome home servicemen and women who have been stationed around the world in the service of our country, and we do this to let them know that we honor their service and commitment to our country. We don't necessarily have any individual units that we're welcoming home today, but I did want to talk about one group that is starting to return, and this is the 101st Airborne is returning after an extremely deadly tour in Afghanistan. And this is Dateline Fort Campbell, Kentucky. The first troops from the 101st Airborne Division are returning home from Afghanistan. Afghanistan this week. The spirits are high around the post, which is on the Tennessee-Kentucky state border. Many families expect a bittersweet reunion as the soldiers unpack their emotional burdens after a year at war. The division was part of President Obama's troop surge to push back gains by the insurgents in Afghanistan, and its troops have faced heavy fighting last year in the southern and eastern parts of Afghanistan. Since March, 105 soldiers of the famed Screaming Eagles died in Afghanistan. 105.
That came as a shock to me.
It isn't, but they are finally returning home, and about 275 soldiers from the 3rd Brigade Combat Team are scheduled to arrive at Fort Campbell. Were scheduled to arrive yesterday. And you go into that type of situation, and you wonder why some people want to relieve the pressure of something along those lines.
Right.
You just have to put your mind in. For those veterans out there, if you've been in it, you know about it. For your civilians, think about the worst situation you've ever been in, and how somebody finally helped you get out of it. Sometimes it was humor, sometimes it was just a hug. We'll talk more about that as we go along. Welcome Home is sponsored by the Marine Scholars Program of Ave Maria University. Visit them online at avemaria.edu or call the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552. And on behalf of a very, very grateful nation and all of us at Veterans Radio, welcome home.
You have honorably served the United States and the Marine Corps in times of peace and war. Now we would like to serve you. The Marine Scholars Program covers the total cost of attending Ave Maria University. By combining resources from the Ave Maria University Marine Scholars Funding, federal financial aid entitlements, and the GI Bill, the benefits are granted for the duration of the recipient's study at Ave Maria University, contingent upon good conduct and good academic standing. The Marine Scholars Program is open to all reserve and active component Marines and other combat veterans of Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom who have honorably served our country. Please visit us online at www.avemaria.edu or call the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552. You helped us. Now let us help you. Semper Fi.
And what's going on? What's going on Veterans Radio today? Well, we want to know what you're thinking and what's going on in your mind. What's happening with the military? What's happening with the VA? What's happening with the government? Where are we going? What direction is this country headed in? Give us a call here at Veterans Radio, 877-573-7825. I did want to bring up one thing right away. Is some of you have received emails from Gary, Bob, or I over the last week or so, asking us for your support for Veterans Radio, and I wanted to explain a little bit about what that's all about. Veterans Radio has been on the air now for 7 years, and it hasn't been free. And we want to thank so very much the people and the sponsors that have helped us stay on the air, but our costs are increasing, and we need to raise some funds. And we've got an arrangement going on with Ave Maria Radio here, when Ave Maria Radio is a nonprofit 501c3 corporation, which means that they can accept tax-deductible contributions to us. And if you send your contribution to Ave Maria Radio at Box 504, Ann Arbor, Michigan 48106, and in the little memo pad on your check, write in Veterans Radio, it goes into a special account to cover our expenses here. I don't know if any of you listeners, especially those of you far out in the country and around the world, the facilities here at Ave Maria Radio are top-notch. They're first-class operations, and we want to make sure that we can stay with Ave Maria Radio, and so this is the way that we figured out a way that you could get a tax deduction for helping us out, and Ave Maria Radio can get their money to cover the cost of allowing us to be in their studios every week. And so, again, we'll ask you to do that. It's Ave Maria Radio, Box 504, Ann Arbor, Michigan, 48106. And those of you that are watching on the webcast, we'll get that slide up there for you so that you can see the address there.
Is that on our website?
I don't think so.
We probably should put that up there.
Which does remind me, we are talking with some people about updating our website at Veterans Radio, and we always need your help and your ideas and your input out there. So we want you to, you know, to send us an email if you have some suggestions on how we can improve the program, how we can improve our website, how we can expand our reach to the veteran community and to the civilian community out there. We feel that our goal in life, I guess you could say, is getting our stories out. And we feel that many of the people that we talk to have educated us and have educated you. And we want to make sure that we continue that mission that we've got going. We've got another phone call on the line right now. Is this going to be a surprise for me, Matt? Okay. Good morning and welcome to Veterans Radio. Hello. Who's there?
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, is this Gary?
I'm here.
Yeah, this is Bob Snitkin. I'm from Wabasha.
Oh, for crying out loud. Bob, how are you? Nonsense.
Yeah. No, with what's going on with that officer from the Enterprise,
yeah.
I spent 20 years in the Navy, two on riverboats in Vietnam, but some of the things that happened in the service, you know, they talk about this one incident with this guy. They have different situations, like the when they cross the equator, the shellback initiation,
mm-hmm.
things they do then. When a person makes rank, the initiation they go through then. If these people would see those things, you know, it's something, it's a different world in the military. It's not like civilian life.
It's necessary.
Yeah. And it's got to be done that way. And another thing, shouldn't we judge people by their peers, not by these other people that don't know what's going on?
You picked up a point that I was going to bring up in a little bit.
Yeah.
Did you have any personal experiences that you could talk about? I have, just while you're on the line, I've often thought if we had that standard back when we were in. Now, in my squad, we had Fat Willie, Joe the Greek with Greek jokes,
yep.
the wetback, yep. And I can't think of some of the other ones, but we all, Cassius Clay was the black guy, and that was the original name of Muhammad Ali. You know, we all had names like that. And it was in fun, and we'd laugh about it and throw some joke back at the other guy. But my gosh, if we had names like that today in the military, I'm afraid that there'd be all sorts of political correctness court-martials or whatever coming down.
It definitely would. And it's, you know, a sense of humor is a way of relieving tension.
Oh, boy.
And during in combat and stuff, or even on the ship so many times, so long at sea, you had to relieve that tension, and the sense of humor was the way to do it.
And it's a different sense of humor, and it's
yes.
It's not the people that are professionally offended.
Yes. And I tell you, I use it more today being here back in the United States than I did in the war zone.
Sometimes we have to, don't we?
Yes.
We learn how to handle extreme stress.
Yeah, see, I think I have more stress here in the United States with some of these people.
I can relate to that. Oh, great. Have you been on the program? You have been on the program before.
Yes, a few years ago. I think that was about me and the Eagles and taking them to the VA hospital.
Right, right. And at first I was had you confused with somebody else. That's why I said nonsense, which was one of our guests that wrote a book. Then I thought, no. He's the guy with the eagle.
He's the guy with the birds.
With the bird. You, yep. You had a... that. How's the eagle doing?
Eagles are doing good.
Okay.
They're really helping the vets. The vets, of course, the eagle, just like the flag, it really means a lot to the veterans.
That eagle was hit by a car, almost died, had
yep.
have a wing amputated, concussion of the skull or a fracture of the skull?
Had a head injury. In fact, now we have a license plate here in Minnesota that has a flag with the eagle, support the troops, and that's Harriet, our eagle.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Fun.
And that eagle helped you a lot, too, didn't he?
Yeah, when I went through my second bout with PTSD, I stayed locked up at the house. I wouldn't leave the house, and then the friend said to bring me into the Eagle Center. And the Eagles are the one that got me back out and around people again.
And I think that's really fascinating that you were talking about that, because we're going to be doing a program at the end of the month about alternative treatments for PTSD, and so Gary to get a hold of him again for that one, because you know many times the traditional care for post-traumatic stress is psychiatric care or analysis and group therapy and so on and so
really?
Forth. And a lot of, and I'm not trying to put that down, but a lot of it doesn't work for everyone.
Yeah.
And I think the hearing you mentioning that this eagle helped you get out of the house, get out of that box that you had put yourself into, and, you know, to face life again. Because we were talking to a gentleman this morning at breakfast, and he was going on about how life has been just, you know, terrible for the last year because of the economy and so forth. And he said he was really just whining all the time. And he said he was going out the door of his business, and a woman was wheeling in a veteran who was a double amputee. And he said, my life is easy. You know, it's,
yeah.
It is. It's all relative to what we need to do to survive, all of us. And I think it's so important for people to understand that. The military is a very closed social group.
And it is.
It's like any club. I mean, you could go to a Masons, you could go to a Rotary, you could go to a Lions, and they all have their traditions, and they all have their rituals. And probably some of them, if the general public found out about them, they wouldn't be real happy.
That's true. And I've been sitting here thinking about that eagle and you and that eagle, and you pretty much saved each other's life.
Yeah. Well, see, we have six eagles now at the Eagle Center.
All of them injured at one time?
Yeah, they couldn't survive in the wild. That's why we take care of them there.
That's a great therapy. Yeah, with the alternative treatment for PTSD, that's a great idea. Would you be willing to come back on, Bob?
Oh, definitely would. There's other things we could talk about. You know, I work with the Humane Society, too.
Uh-huh.
And we've got a program through there for veterans where we'll, if they're housebound where they can't get out, we'll give them a free cat.
Wow.
And if,
that stuff is, it's amazing what calms people down.
Or if they can get out, especially if they have PTSD and don't want to get out, we'll give them a free dog. That way they get out walking the dog.
That I know from a brother of mine that's just helped him a great deal after the loss of his wife. So,
yep.
Bob, thank you so much for phoning in. It's really good to hear from you again. And, gee, you touched on something that's just a great idea. That's great therapy. Thank you.
Okay. And give me a call when you want me to come back on.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
Okay. Nice talking to you again.
Good talking to you, Bob. Geez, what a wonderful story that is.
I know. It's amazing what works. And I think that's one of the things that we get into arguments about what's appropriate, what's not appropriate.
Oh.
For those people that are suffering from PTSD or any type of trauma, civilians the same way. I mean, look at leader dogs and, you know, not for the blind, but for people that just need something or someone to love them and someone to acknowledge them. And I think that's one of the big issues that we always run into. I want to thank Bob also for calling. You give us a call. What's bothering you out there? Give us a call at 877-573-7825. We've got some other issues that we want, you know, that we're hoping that you will want to get on the line and let us know about. We got about four minutes or so to the bottom of the hour, and we're going to be talking about these things. I think it's important that we bring up these issues. Again, we're not telling you whether you're right or wrong. We want to know what you think, because if you give us some ideas, we'll go and do a program about that particular issue.
I've got an idea.
What?
It seems like there's a habit or a policy of throwing our own troops under the bus to satisfy the public. There's an example of a sniper over in Iraq who's now doing 40 years in prison for murder. And the situation is their unit, their patrol was ambushed. Their patrol was ambushed. There was an Iraqi quote-unquote civilian standing out in the open pointing out their positions to the terrorists, the Al-Qaeda, mm-hmm. so that they could fire on them. And he was doing it right out there in the open, no fear, and the platoon leader told the sniper, take that guy out. He took him out and now is serving 40 years for murder. And I don't consider that guy to be a civilian. That guy was an unarmed terrorist. I mean, my gosh, you're standing there pointing fingers at where they were.
Yeah, we'll get into some more of those later on. But right now we got a call from Ed in Wyandotte. Good morning, Ed. Welcome to Veterans Radio. We got about 2.5 minutes.
Thanks for having me. My concern as much as any other, really, is I was really disappointed to hear about what was happening with the remains at Arlington Cemetery, and it just seems like it was a large act of disrespect, and I never understood how all of that happened.
Well, I understand that the issue was that they were misidentifying remains of veterans that were buried at Arlington, and some of them were buried on top of each other, some of them were buried under the wrong tombstone, and boy, I'll tell you, it makes your blood boil just to even think about somebody disrespecting somebody like that.
Absolutely. About 10 years ago, I visited Washington, D.C., and the only place I visited twice was Arlington Cemetery. And I remember being at the Tomb of the Unknowns, and I was sitting there. I was basically all by myself in that amphitheater over there, and or just behind it, and I remember a whole bunch of people descending on the where I was sitting. The soldiers went through their routine, the mm-hmm. the guards, and then everybody fled real quickly, and that was at Arlington. And you know, it's not exactly related to the situation we just had with the remains, but to me, I think it's just part of a pervasive problem with the lack of respect that people have for the memory of our veterans, and I just see a lack of respect and a lack of consideration for what they have done for us.
Well, I thank you so very much, Ed, for calling. I my comment on that is that, you know, the Vietnam War was very powerful for those of us that were in Vietnam, but I thought that Arlington brought the whole idea of war and sacrifice home to me, because you just look at those thousands of rows of crosses and tombstones, and you're just going, these people, all of them, paid the ultimate price for what we've got today, to allow us to complain about whatever it is we're complaining about.
Well, and if I could touch on that for just a second, they more than paid the ultimate price, because they didn't die a quiet death.
Right. I need to ask you to hold on, Ed, would you please? We're going to come back at the bottom of the hour. You're listening to Veterans Radio.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them. Major Oscar Miller, although wounded several times, encouraged his troops to press the attack. Details after this.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy?
For freedom.
Freedom of religion.
What America stands for.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy? For honor.
Everybody. And watch out for everybody.
Freedom to vote.
Democracy.
Freedom to go outside and play with my kids.
I join the Navy to serve my country.
Every freedom that we have.
The right to raise our kids in peace.
My little brother. My wife.
My kids.
Our children's children.
The United States Navy.
It's not for ourselves alone that we serve.
After 2 days of intense physical and mental strain, during which Miller had led his battalion in the front line of the advance through the forests of Argonne, the enemy was met in a prepared position. Though almost exhausted, he energetically reorganized his battalion and ordered an attack. Upon reaching open ground, the advancing line began to waver in the face of machine gun fire from the front and flanks and direct artillery fire. Personally leading his command group forward between his frontline companies, Miller inspired his men by his personal courage, and they again pressed on toward the hostile position. As he led the renewed attack, he was shot in the right leg, but he nevertheless staggered forward at the head of his command. Soon afterward, he was again shot in the right arm, but he continued the charge, personally cheering his troops on through the heavy machine gun fire. Just before the objective was reached, he received a wound in the abdomen, which forced him to the ground. But he continued to urge his men on, telling them to push on to the next ridge and leave him where he lay. He died from his wounds a few days later. The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
I got a letter from LBJ. It says to feel your lucky day. It's time to put your khaki trousers on. Very clear, we've got no job to give you here, so we are sending you to Vietnam.
As one of those proud recipients of that letter from LBJ, I just thought it was kind of humorous to find that song. I hadn't heard that one in a long time. You're listening to Veterans Radio, and we want to know what's bothering you. We're calling this a shout, you know, let us know what's going on in your world. We've got Ed on the line. We're talking a little bit about what's been happening in Arlington Cemetery. Ed, go ahead.
Thanks. I just wanted to complete the thought that, you know, as you said, that these veterans died in service for our country, but it's important to remember that they didn't just fall asleep on the couch, you know.
Of old age.
Of old age. They were in some unspeakable, you know, events. And, you know, we don't need to go into the details, but it's important to remember that, I think, the manner in which they died. They died clear as heroes, you know, clearly as heroes.
Well, thank you. I agree. Thanks very much, Ed, for calling in. Appreciate it. We've got another caller on the line from Saginaw, and welcome to Veterans Radio.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
I'm concerned about, I'm a Vietnam vet. I'm concerned about I don't know what else to call it, the feminization of our military. It seems like this "don't ask, don't tell" was passed without a fight. You know what happened to Lieutenant Colonel Heckworth this time? I haven't heard anything from our former our leaders. You know, to really put up a fight against this. My way of thinking about it is, hey, you know, of course the gays have been in there, and no problem. You know, but what is going on now? If you read up a little bit on the agenda of the homosexual movement, this is all in their plan. They want to bring the civilian aspect into the military, and I'm telling you, it is not good. It's all intertwined in the movement to legalize so-called same-sex marriage and infiltrating our schools and the whole shot. Just like I say, it's like we went down without a fight. Where's our leaders at? That's my question, concern.
Thank you very much for calling in. It is an issue that that has needed to be addressed. I think the Yeah, we'll have to see what happens. That's the only way we can look at it. I don't think the law has been changed, and it looks like they're going to try and implement it, and I think we can go back historically. You know, our culture and society is changing, and sometimes there are things that we can't do to stop it, which is unfortunate.
Whatever happened to Lieutenant Colonel David Hackworth?
I believe he passed away.
He passed away.
Okay, because he was very adamant about this subject, during the Clinton administration, and we put up a good fight. I just don't, like I say, we're trying to put civilian social programs in our military. It ain't going to work.
I think that's a bigger picture. If we look at the way that we're civilianizing the military, which is what's causing a lot of the outrage by people for these traditions and rituals and many other things that are going on out there. I think it's something we have to be very, very careful about.
The Marine Corps is the only one to put up a fight. I say good to the Marines.
Exactly. My personal opinion
of that. It just ain't good. I mean, I'm looking 5, 10, 20 years down the road, and the politics and the political correctiveness that is infiltrating our military, and it is not good. And there's no, of course, the politicians ain't saying nothing, and our fearless leader, Obama, of course, he's as liberal as they get. Hate to call him a commander-in-chief, but that's unfortunately who is in the position
right
now.
We're going to move on from there. Thanks so very much for your call. We appreciate it very much.
I tend to agree with him on from one standpoint, or I agree with him on a lot, but keeping my own personal feelings out of it. I believe that our military leaders are going spineless, that they're becoming too political. You've got admirals and generals. I think what we need right now is a George Patton and a Bull Halsey. You know, I don't think they put up with a lot of this. And the civilians don't understand what the military is all about, what the war is all about. Going back to those aircraft carriers, my gosh, you sleep in bunks that are, about 18 inches, 2 feet apart from the person above you? You're in cramped quarters. And there's in my squad, we had a guy he was a great friend of mine, but he had a goofy laugh. By the end of our deployment to Vietnam, I almost hated him over that laugh.
Well, close quarters do that. Give us a call if you've got a comment. What's on your mind? What's bothering you? What's happening in the world that you want to talk about? 877-573-7825. 877-573-7825. You're listening to Veterans Radio and Ave Maria Radio, and we want to hear what you've got to say about what's going on in the world. There are so many issues that should be of concern, because we have to remember that the men and women in the military, their main job, the first thing that they're taught how to do is to kill people and protect themselves. And I think that's so hard for many people to get to wrap their arms around, that this is what their young men and women are being taught. And I can even remember 40 years ago going through basic training, and the first thing that they taught us in hand-to-hand combat was how to smash somebody's face. And I'm just going, this is not the John Wayne that I remember. And it was. It was really eye-opening to me. And I think we have to really pay attention to that, because if we don't have a strong military, we know that there are people in the world that will push back against us.
The things that are taught, I think, in schools that are taught by people that don't have a clue. From the standpoint of what I mean is, I read an example of the professor during the Vietnam War that said, all our men just stood up and threw out their arms and showed love. Just think what the other side would do.
Blow them all down.
Yeah, right. They'd have really good open targets. There's other ways of thinking out there in the other parts of the world, and it isn't kindness and civilized. There's brutal, brutal people out there.
I think that's one of the things that so many people have a problem with. We have always been taught our whole lives, in America mostly, is to fight fair.
Yeah.
And not to break the rules, and so on, just give the other guy a chance, and so on and so forth. And we've paid for that by having that momentary pause of, should I shoot this person or should I not shoot this person? And, many people end up getting shot as a result of that. When we're fighting an enemy that doesn't play by our rules, do we fight by their rules?
Have to.
or what do we do? And I think that's the argument. I mean, that's the debate. Is do we maintain what we think is right about an American that we, for the most part, and all of you out there that are listening, if you don't agree with me, give me a call at 877-573-7825.
Well, you think about the old West where they came out in the Hollywood and the duels, the draw against each other, and if the other guy got his gun hung up in the holster, would the other guy say, well, that's not fair, let me get
only the evil guy. I mean, they stood in the middle of the street and they go, one, two, three, fight.
Yeah. Let me give him a chance to get his gun out of the holster, and that way it'll be fair. That's pretty much what it's like when you're in the military and you're out in the jungle or whatever. It's quick draw.
We've had guests on Veterans Radio that talked about that, where they were in the jungle or they were in the desert or whatever it was, and they came around a rock or a tree or something, and the bad guy, there's a guy right there, and they both pulled their weapons up at the same time. And he who hesitated is lost, but I forget who it was that was on the program that talked about, they both pulled them up, both hit the trigger, and they both misfired. And they just stared at each other. And, it happens.
It had to be the longest day of their life, with those few seconds that came after that.
I can only imagine. I mean, I had an experience where I saw a bad guy shooting at me in a helicopter in a landing zone, and everything was in such slow motion. And I'm going, this is not a good situation to be in. I'm sitting here in this plexiglass bubble, and I can see the flashes of the gun going off, and I just couldn't figure out why it was missing. How is he missing me? And I'm yelling at my door gunner, and shoot him, shoot him, shoot him. And a gunship luckily came along, and the tree was gone, and that was the end of that one. But you want to stay civilized as much as you can, but war is not civilized.
It's not. It's Michael J. And bringing up Michael J. He said war is an atrocity. War, when we talk to kids, they ask about atrocities, and Michael says, war is an atrocity.
It is, and everybody who's been in one wants them all to end. It's right. We're not going to throw down our weapons and say, world peace, but we would love to be able to just breathe a little bit and say, listen, what are we fighting over? Why are we maiming our children in the future generations and millions of people are getting killed? We've said this I don't know how many times about there not being any organizations of veterans out there for war.
You just made me think about something. There's probably people out there that think that we're doing this program to glorify war.
Oh, no.
I'll bet you there are. And there's nobody that hates war more than those who have been there. The situation about throwing the troops under the bus, Haditha is a real good example, and you mm-hmm. interviewed Brian Rooney, the attorney who represented
right.
those troops. And here it was, didn't you say that he uncovered the fact that the military had a drone flying overhead the whole time?
Yeah, whole thing was basically videotaped.
And it proved that the Marines mm-hmm. were telling the truth. And why would the military keep that a secret? So...
That's right.
That's other than to appease the American public, who doesn't understand what goes on. That's criminal. We need George Patton, and we need Bull Halsey.
Well, you need somebody out there, and we had Sergeant Ermey was on
Lee
last year. Lee Ermey, the Geico guy, the psychiatrist on the table, throwing the tissue at the people. But and he's just saying, we need to have somebody come forward that's got a pair, whatever you want to talk about the pair, and and just state what they really feel. Everybody is so concerned about offending one group or the other group that we end up not getting anything done. And it's the same thing that we look at in Congress or it's in the military. Everybody's playing the political game, and nobody's just stepping forward and said, this needs to be done. We're coming up on a break, so we're going to hold that thought. We've got a couple of callers on the line. We want to get to them. If you want to get in on the action, give us a call, 877-573-7825. You're listening to Veterans Radio.
You have honorably served the United States and the Marine Corps in times of peace and war. Now we would like to serve you. The Marine Scholars Program covers the total cost of attending Ave Maria University. By combining resources from the Ave Maria University Marine Scholars Funding
federal financial aid entitlements, and the GI Bill. The benefits are granted for the duration of the recipient's study at Ave Maria University, contingent upon good conduct and good academic standing. The Marine Scholars Program is open to all reserve and active component Marines and other combat veterans of Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom who have honorably served our country. Please visit us online at www.avemaria.edu or call the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552. You helped us. Now let us help you. Semper Fi.
This is the G.I. Jive, Man Alive.
And we're back on Veterans Radio, listening to you sound off today on what's bothering you, what's going on in your head. Let us know. Maybe we can get you to relax just a little bit. 877-573-7825. We've got a call from California. Welcome to Veterans Radio.
Hi, good morning. Nice to talk to you.
How are you doing this morning?
Oh, pretty good. It's nice and clear outside and wonderful weather.
Oh, well, you're... Although a little bit of rain, right? Not today, though.
Well, I'm in the southern portion down near the Palm Springs area, so we don't even have the rain.
Oh, okay. Well, gee, life is tough, right?
That's why you called in. It's so tauntous.
So what's bothering
you,
Dwayne?
I have a comment and a concern.
Okay.
My first comment is... it relates to Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And I know that in the general population, the percentage of homosexuals in the population is estimated to be somewhere between 1% and 2%. And I'm concerned that with the lifting of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, potentially in the military, that the percentage of homosexuals serving openly in the military could probably... be much greater than that, maybe 5%, maybe 10%, I don't know. But I'm just worried about that because it could be a means of pushing it even further into the military by more and more homosexuals serving and joining just to make a political statement. I don't know. I'm just concerned about that. And the other thing, I just tuned in, so I didn't hear the calls that came before mine. But getting back to the incident on the that took place on the USS Enterprise a few years ago, I wouldn't that happened 4 years ago or so.
I think it was 2007. It seems to me I remember reading something about that. Yes,
and so that video has existed since then, and I'm just curious about the timing of it coming out. Is this a coincidence, or was this something planned to take a dig at the military? I in no way condone what that. I mean, that was a terrible thing that they did. I can't believe it.
I think it showed bad judgment, but and apparently there were some complaints, but they stopped doing it, or he stopped doing it. Apparently because of the complaints. But I understand what you're saying. You're worried that it's going to be part of pushing an agenda. Is that what you're
right.
saying?
And yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. And coming out at this particular time was a plan to come out at this time, right after Don't Tell. And is this an example, or is this going to move into an era where people within the military start attacking the military from within by pushing an agenda within the military? So those are the comments and concerns that I have.
Well, I appreciate your call very much, Dwayne, and we'll be looking into those issues over the next couple of months, I'm sure, as all of these stories continue to come out and we're trying to figure that out. So thank you very much, and enjoy the rest of your day out there in California.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
I think those are things that bear monitoring because of the fact that, as he said, he's not the only one that said it. Boy, the emails are flying all around the Internet, and there's a lot of people expressing those same concerns. And we had a guy in our unit that everybody was convinced was homosexual, but nobody cared. And the reason being, it was like Don't Ask, Don't Tell back then. You know, don't push your agenda. I don't want it if somebody's pushing their religious agenda on me. So it's the same thing.
I think it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out, because it you know, with all the different backgrounds that you have, and you went through it, and I went through it. When I just going into the service, you run into people that you would have never met in your entire life, and suddenly you are living with them. But nobody really ever pushed whatever their beliefs were. Everybody was in the. You all had you had one cause, and in our cause was to get home alive.
Yes, that's the motivation.
And so you didn't care where they were from, what they thought, and all those other things, as long as they didn't jeopardize the mission.
I want to throw out something that I've not heard. Now, they say, okay, we lost 7,000 or 13,000 people because they were homosexual and the military kicked them out. Has a study ever been done, or has anybody ever asked, how many of these people used it as a reason to go? Because the military is not a pleasant place. And it catches a lot of people by surprise. And what easier way to get out?
That's true. That's true.
Nope.
We've got a call coming in from California. This is from Florida. And this is a mom, it sounds like. Welcome to Veterans Radio.
Hi, thank you.
What can we do for you? What's bothering you today?
You know, I just, listening to you guys talk, I just had a conversation with my soon-to-be 21-year-old son that decided that he needs more adventure in his life, and college really isn't working for him, so he wants to go into the military. And, you know, I'm not sure it's a real positive thing place right now.
You sound like a mom.
I know, and I don't know. I'm telling you guys this because I'm not going to say this to him, but, you know, I absolutely want to encourage and support him, and obviously you both have been there. Is this something that we still, is this a good place or what?
Well, from my own personal opinion, it certainly changed my life, and I think for the better. It makes you look at the world a little differently and makes you realize that you have a place in it, and people are dependent upon you. Once you get in there, you become a member of this team of a million sailors and soldiers and Marines and so forth, and it really does give you an identity. And many people, I think many people, it helps out because it gives you a focus. You may be in the service and you say, wow, this is really great, and you're in there doing the job, but then you go, but this isn't something I want to do the rest of my life. And so you'll take all those, the organizational skills and the
discipline.
Thought process and the discipline, and you take that with you when you get out and continue on with the rest of your life.
The whole time I was in, not the whole time, but the whole time I was in Vietnam, I hated it. But one of the things it does is it teaches you what's important or not. Dale and I were talking about it at breakfast this morning, that like everybody else, I couldn't wait to get home. And then all of a sudden there was a light bulb went off, and I looked around at the Vietnamese people, and I thought to myself, they're already home. And all of a sudden you realize, if you hadn't realized before, what a great life you have. And you get to the point you really can't stand to hear people whining about the little things, what we would consider the little things, because you've seen the big picture, you've seen what's important, and you have a different way of looking at life that is a lot better. It can cause you problems, but you know what? I was with some other vets talking to a class of high school students, and somebody asked, would you do it over again? Well, one of the guys there had his best friend die in his arms, and there was people with all different experiences. And without hesitation, everybody said yes.
Wow.
You'd do it over again. And that's the one thing that is not taught either, is the Harris Polling Company did a poll in 1985 of Vietnam vets, and even those that had been in heavy combat, over two-thirds of them said that they would do it again because if the cause was right. They would go, even knowing the outcome, they would go back and do it again. That stuff is not taught in here, but see, that's what the military teaches you is, what's important in life.
And I think you're also going to meet people that are going to be your friends forever.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
I mean, you can say that about college, and that's true, too. But these people you were dependent on, and they were dependent upon you, and it's an amazing experience. Yes, it's going to be an adventure for him. And all we can say is God bless him, and, you know, we'll say our prayers to protect him.
And what's the greatest support that we could do here for him?
Of
course, prayer is obvious.
Be upbeat. In your letters and your communications with him, talk about really great things. Don't tell him the dishwasher is broken and you're getting chapped hands.
Right. All you can do is just try to keep him strong. And let him know that this is what he's, you know, this is why he's doing what he's doing.
Okay.
It's for you. It's for you, your husband, his brothers, sisters, grandma, grandpa, all the rest of them out there. Let us know what happens.
All right.
All right. Thank you very much. Well, we've done it again. We've got about 40 seconds left, and the hour flew by. I want to thank all of you for calling into Veterans Radio and let us know what's going on in the world that you wanted to change or talk about. We want to encourage you to contribute to Veterans Radio if you can. You can send a nice little check to Ave Maria Radio, Box 504, Ann Arbor, Michigan, 48106. In the memo line of the check, put down Veterans Radio, and you can help us stay on the air. And we're going to be starting to tell some more stories starting next week. And we've got a lot of things coming up.
Oh, we do. We're running out of time, but I've got a friend who was a CB at KSAN, said he'll come on.
Okay. We're going to be doing that starting next week. Until then, you are dismissed.
Not all views and opinions expressed on this program reflect the views of Veterans Radio. Veterans Radio is a production of Veterans Radio, LLC.